Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Hee-seok Chung as a guest. Hee-seok is a member at Open Door Church and part of Korean Ministry. He is a graduate from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Hello, Hee-seok. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for your time
for doing this podcast interview.
And I've known you probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to do this podcast with you.
Yeah, I'm excited as well.
Yeah, so today is episode one. In episode one, we normally go through a personal story.
Okay.
So I'd love to hear your story, how you met God and how God called you into ministry. So please tell us about your family.
Well, I got married kind of late. I got married when I was 41, so a couple of years ago. We, as soon as we got married, within a month when my wife was pregnant, we, God blessed us with a son. His name's Elijah. And he just became one a couple of months ago. And we live in Cary right now. It's a family of three of us.
That's great. Congratulations for
Thank
your
you.
Son.
Thank
He's growing
you.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. A lot.
Now, my favorite question. How did you come to faith in Christ?
My mother was a woman of Christ. My dad wasn't. Before I was born, my mom basically took my brother when he was still a baby, and then she attended the church despite the rejection of our dad not wanting her to go to church. So since I was baby, I attended church. But my first encounter with Jesus Christ in personal level was through a retreat when I was in middle school. Before I came to America, actually. And during the retreat, I encountered Jesus Christ, and I realized what kind of a sinner I was, and I needed a Savior. And Jesus kind of invited me into His mercy and grace, and He taught me that I really need Him to be saved, and I really need Him to find reason and the purpose for life. That's when I was 13 years old, so a long, long time ago.
That's great. Who was the biggest influence in your life?
I have a mentor named Chris Kwan. He's a medical doctor at Houston right now. But when I was in college, I kind of struggled to, really identify my personal identity. I wanted to know who I was. I wanted to know what I was supposed to do and how I should live. And for some reason, I felt like I was quiet, and I kind of rebelled for a couple of years during the college years. And during that time, this guy came to our church because he came to Wake Forest University for his med school. But then his method of reaching out to people is to pick one person at a time, and he targets one person to disciple and mentor. So he purposefully picked me and then came after me, and he eventually became my mentor. And he taught me a lot of the basics of theology. He taught me the discipline of learning the Bible, truth, the prayer. I served with him as a praise leader in the ministry for many years. And he kind of shaped the person that I am today, and kind of provided that solid ground of faith where I could step on really solid, and then became, a Christian who doesn't go through that roller coaster ride anymore. So he kind of introduced me to that whole faith. So he was most impactful person in my life.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think you're really blessed because not many people have mentor like him.
Yeah.
Who really spends time.
Right.
What is your life verse from scripture and why?
My life verse is Psalm 64:10, where in the beginning it says, "Be still and know that I am God." He would he would introduce a psalm by saying that the life is rough. You could have a lot of adversaries. You could have a lot of tragedies in life. But God tells David that, hey, just be still and know that I'm God. When I first encountered the Bible verse, I realized that when I was young, my faith was very strongly based on me praying to ask God what I want from Him, rather than striving to know who God is and striving to listen to what He wants to say. And I think my discipline told me that the prayer was me requesting what I wanted to God, but I was never taught that prayer also has a component of me listening to God. And this verse kind of taught me that the faith in Christ is strongly based on the response rather than proactive action, meaning that we don't really go out and do what we want and what we think is right, and then say, God, you come and help me, as like if he's a superhero. But yet, the real faith is actually obeying to God's calling and listening to what God desires in my life. And then it's simply just following the calling and following his guidance. And this verse kind of taught me that when I was in my early 20s. So it kind of became the verse that kind of guided me through, I guess, my faith journey.
Amen. That's great. Well, Hisok, were you born and grew up in America, or did you come to the United States when you were young?
No, I was born in Seoul, Korea, and then I came to America when I was 14.
Okay, so you're 1.5.
Yeah, I'm 1.5. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I'm curious how your experience growing up in the United States as 1.5.
Right. It was rough in the beginning. When I first came, we moved to a city called Asheboro in North Carolina. And then Asheboro is such a boonie city, especially back in 1991. That's when we came. And the entire school had maybe 4 Asian people. And amongst them, like 2 are Koreans. And that we rarely had any class together except the ESL program, which is English as a second language class. So I never had any other Korean friends within the school to get through the school. So I had kind of rough time in the beginning. But it became quite okay for me. It was not too difficult once I kind of got the hang of the language a little bit. But after that, it's just like any other, I guess, the 1.5 gen or the second generation. You kind of learn to adapt to the culture. And then you kind of learn to deal, or you kind of learn to balance the cultural environment that you are involved in, and you kind of grow up like that.
He said, what are you most passionate about?
I think I'm most passionate about serving the lost generation.
Lost generation, what do you mean?
I think the reason I went to seminary, the reason I guess God brought me to seminary was because I was involved in second generation ministry since 2001. And then second generation ministry I was involved in went through a lot of identity, I guess, crisis, a lot of different difficulties and hardships, heartaches and pain. But for some reason, as I even got older, like after I became 30s and over, we felt like we're still struggling with the same pain, younger generation or older, 1.5 and second generation. And I felt like that a lot of us, even the church leaders of EM, had the guidance or the mentors that can kind of help us through in finding our spiritual identity, or even finding the visions and missions for whatever is to come that's unique for us. And that kind of bothered me a lot. And I kind of really felt for a lot of the 1.5 and second generation congregation members and lay leaders that kind of fall away from the church leadership and passion for Christ, mainly because they don't have a good mentor, they don't have a good church that they can serve in, and they don't have a good vision. Today I'm like 43, Even today, I meet people that are in similar age as I am. We still struggle with, hey, who are we? Where are we going? What is church for us? And we still haven't found the answer. And that I feel like that kind of really dampens a potential that we could have in serving God. And I think it really hurts a lot of the first 1.5 and second generation spiritually. Because eventually I see a lot of the first 1.5 and second gen kind of giving up on the church leadership, giving up on the church, giving up on actually pursuing growth in faith. Mm. And that really bothered me a lot. Mm. So I would say that's the people and that's the generation that I feel the most passionate about in reaching out.
Yeah, that's great. What would be the, if there is, what would be the difference between 1.5 and second generation in terms of their pain and suffering or struggle?
I think 1.5 generation, I think second generation nowadays are more like 1.5 in this matter, where 1.5 gets to choose as we grow up. I grew up in first generation Korean church until I was 22. And I didn't even know the existence of EM. I didn't even know the necessity of the existence of EM until I met that mentor that I told you about. And then when I was introduced to the group of people that were second generation English speaking group, it was a whole new world for me. And I came to a point where I needed to make a choice. Do I stay with the KM and stay, you know, serving and then getting involved with the KM ministry? Or do I stay with the EM and then try to grow together in EM? In my personal opinion, EM was in a lot more need of people and leadership than the KM. And for me, that bothered me a lot more than KM. So I ended up making the shift from KM to EM. But I know many 1.5 generations that I grew up with that are still in KM. We came to America in about similar age. Some actually even came younger, but then they decide to stay with the KM, and they do okay in KM. And some decide to move to EM. A lot of the second generation group do not have that choice. It's the EM that's more Koreanized or EM that is more Americanized. That's their choice. So they kind of have to move into the EM part of the Korean ministry, or they have to step out of that circle and go to the local American church. Out of my experience, none of those two have been very successful so far. I've seen, you know, a good amount of people that are settling down okay in either one of the EM churches, or they go to local American church and kind of settle okay. But I think mass majority are still kind of lost. They go to local American church and they, you know, once they were such an active leader in the church, in the Korean ministry or EM ministry, now they go to local American church. They're very passive churchgoers. And a lot of the ones who stay in KM are struggling with the bitterness that they get built up. So they struggle a lot, but for now, that's kind of the only choice they get. And I actually even see a lot of people who kind of give up going to church. And then they just end up just staying away from church and stay home. Which kind of really, really breaks my heart. Yeah.
Well, Hee-seok, thanks so much for touching on the very deep issues in immigrant churches. I think that's very helpful. And I hope that in the next two episodes, I'd love to hear how you think about that and how churches can be responsive to those issues. Well, Hee-seok, can you share some highlights of your life?
Highlights of my life. I think one of the main highlights when I think back is during that couple of years of kind of struggling and I kind of try to run away from God in my college years. When I graduated high school, I had different, I guess, gifts and talents. I was good at doing art, but then my family rejected me going to art school. And I wanted to go to, in the beginning, I wanted to actually go to UNC when I was in high school, but I got rejected by UNC. I could have gone to NC State, but I hated the engineering. I really did not like math at all. And I went into that whole couple years of what do I do now? Now that, you know, I kind of like pursuing art, but my family is very strongly against it, so I couldn't pursue it. I didn't get to go to the school that I wanted to go. And what do I do? I went through that kind of little crisis for a couple years. But after a couple of years, God kind of brought me back. And when that happened, I met a pastor. His name was Richard Burns, an American guy who was a Southern Baptist. And I went to him and plead with him and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this future direction. I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of life I should pursue. And I try to call unto God and he doesn't answer. And then he told me that hey, have you ever looked up? And I asked him, what do you mean by that? And he said, I know that you're looking all directions of your life. You try to go forward, it's not happening. You try to go backward, it's not happening. You try to go sideways and everything's closed down. I'm pretty sure you feel like all the walls are closing down on you. And I said, yeah, I kind of feel like that. And he said, but have you looked up to God? Have you ever thought about him just trying to pin on you because he wants your attention? And have you actually just kind of listened to him and then hear what he has to say to you? And then I thought about it and I said, no, I never thought about it that way. And then he said, you know, your faith happens, or when things seem like everything's closing down on the door on you, that's when God wants your attention. And he said, you need to look up and listen. And like the verse that I shared with you, that kind of became my, I guess, guideline of pursuing the journey of faith since then. So I said, okay. And then I learned what it means to kind of stop thinking about what happens in the future, stop kind of, you know, chewing on how horrible of a situation I live in, but just to kind of look up and ask God, what do you want? What am I supposed to do? God, what do you want to tell me? What am I missing? I actually learned to ask God because of that. And that was the biggest highlight of my life. And since then, I think rest of my life, that kind of became my theme. Every once in a while in my life, if not very often, I would just try to stop and stay away from everything and ask God, hey, what do you want? Where do I go? Where are you guiding me to? And learn to listen. Learn to just quietly wait and then listen. So that moment was my highlight of life. And I think the lesson he taught me then is still the lesson that speaks loud in my heart today.
Amen. That's great. I'm sure some of our listeners needed to hear that. So thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Well, Hisok, thank you again for sharing about your personal life. And I'm very excited to hear about your ministry experiences and a future vision for second generations for God's kingdom.
Yeah, great. Looking forward.
Hello, listeners. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.